Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Jerry. That did bring quite a bit of emotion because of the truthfulness of the words that our brother sang and the message that I've been prompted to deliver. If I had to title the message, it would be something like this: America has been traveling down the boulevard of disrespect. And if you stop and think of the song and the words that were in the song, how great the disrespect that was shown to our Savior. Picture in your mind's eye, if you will, a crowd gathered around a street, and they're shouting, and you walk up and you're in this crowd and you're able to see what the crowd's shouting about. And here's a man, a very strong man, very muscular man, a man that if he desired to, could have taken that cross that he was carrying and done away with it completely. He could have called 10,000 angels to come down. But he didn't. He walked along that street carrying that heavy cross on his shoulder. And as he walked along, they jeered him. They swore at him. They spit upon him. And he drops the cross. And as he made his way up on Calvary, there's another man, a rather huge individual, and he has a big hammer in his hand. And you see those spikes. And you think to yourself, they can't do it to him. They absolutely can't do it to him. And yet, they drive that spike through his hand into the wood of the cross. And then they drive the spike through his feet into the wood of the cross. And someone takes and fashions a crown because they say that he claimed to be king of the Jews. And how many of you have taken a thorn bush or a sticker bush and have touched that thorn or sticker bush and they weaved a crown for him and they placed it on his head. Then they placed the cross on the ground. Can you think of the disrespect that we've shown our God? by supposedly destroying his son. But yet, he lifted him up. He rose from the dead. Just as you and I will one of these days, we will rise from the dead to stand before our Heavenly Father. To stand before Him in all of His glory. And as we talked in Sunday school this morning, can you imagine to be able to stand before God and He knows all about you? He knows every one of the little transgressions that you've made. And yet there's going to be a person standing beside you. And he's going to be pleading your cause with the Father. The one that they showed so much disrespect to. You know, early in my life, my father taught me many things, as well as your father's taught you many things. My father was a great man. He really was. He was a great man. Oh, he really didn't go to church much. And I don't know that he read the Book of Mormon. I really don't know that. And I don't know that he read the Bible very much. But my father taught me the lessons in the Scripture by the way he lived his life. First of all, I knew how much he really loved me. He told me so a number of times, and maybe we just don't tell our children enough how much we love them. Or we don't tell our parents enough how much we love them. He really wasn't a religious man. But he did manifest his faith through the characteristics of his life. I had an occasion to attend a family reunion over Memorial Day. Every Memorial Day we have a family reunion because that was my grandfather's birthday. And all the family would always get together on his birthday. But I had caused my cousins had asked me to kind of write the history of the family. And so I was talking with some of my aunts and uncles, asking them about my grandparents, my great-grandparents, and what was important in their life, and what they would say to the family for posterity's sake. And every one of them, I think all three of my aunts and my uncle, every one of them said that they stay close to God. If they had something that they could tell the all my cousins and their families, is to stay close to God. And one of my aunts, her name is Irene, or we call her Reen. She said, she started talking about my dad. And she says, you know, said, he was very good to me and my family. Said he made sure that my kids were always clothed. Said he would take them on vacations. That they always got to go to the lake with him. And said when he took him out to buy him clothes, he wouldn't buy the cheaper clothes like maybe at Kmart or Walmart. He said he would take him down to one of the best places to buy him clothes. Said he was one that always believed in Christmas, and he wanted to make sure that my family always had a Christmas tree. So see, there's times when your families maybe don't attend church, and maybe they haven't studied the scriptures as they should have. But maybe they live their lives in a fashion to where they make a big influence on others. And I hope that when all is said and done, that my family would feel the same way about me. My dad didn't just take care of the family, but he took care of others too. And this is the teachings of Christ. Is that when you see someone hungry, you feed them. If someone's thirsty, you give them drink. If someone's naked, you clothe them. If someone is sorrowing, you comfort them. And if someone is hurting for any other reason, you give them aid. That's the teachings of Christ. That's the teachings that we must instill in our children. Seems like I can't get away from this scripture. I've heard it preached a number of times here, and I love it myself. And we're going to go to the 220th page of the Book of Mormon. And this is going to be a rather lengthy reading, but hopefully that this will be what is important in your life. And we can start out with one of my brother's favorite scriptures, starting out with verse 13. It says, believe in God and believe that He is, and that He has created all things both in heaven and earth. Believe that He hath all wisdom and all power, both in heaven and in earth. Believe that man doth not comprehend all the things which the Lord can comprehend. You know, sometimes in our lives we start to think that maybe we're just a little bit smarter than the others. And sometimes we might think that we're just a little bit smarter than what God is. But we cannot comprehend the things that God can comprehend. And we cannot have all the wisdom that He has. And again, believe that you must repent of your sins and forsake them and humble yourselves before God and ask in sincerity of heart that He would forgive you. And now, if you believe these things, see that you do them. And again, I say unto you, as I have said before, that ye must come to the knowledge of the glory of God. Or if ye have known His goodness, and have tasted of His love, and have received a remission of your sins, which causes such exceeding great joy in your souls, even so I would that you should remember, and always retain in your remembrance the greatness of God and your own nothingness, and his goodness and long-suffering toward you unworthy creatures. And humble yourselves in the depths of humility, calling on the name of the Lord daily and standing steadfast in the faith of which is to come, which was spoken by the mouth of the angel. And behold, I say unto you that if you do this, you shall always rejoice and be filled with the love of God and always retain a remission of your sins. And you shall grow in the knowledge and the glory of Him that created you, or in the knowledge of that which is just and true. And you know, I can remember back, and I can remember my father. There was a lot of things that he could withstand and forgive, but there was one thing that he just absolutely made sure that you always told the truth. That you did that which was just and true. And you will not have a mind to injure one another, but live peaceably and render unto every man according to that which is his due. And you will not suffer your children that they go hungry or naked. Neither will you suffer that they transgress the laws of God and fight and quarrel with one another and serve the devil, which is the master of sin, which is the evil spirit which has been spoken by our fathers, he being an enemy to all righteousness. But you will teach them. And parents, this is what you will teach them. You will teach them to walk in the ways of truth and soberness. You will teach them to love one another and to serve one another. And ye yourselves will succor those that stand in need of your succor. Ye will administer of your substances unto him that standeth in need, and you will not suffer the beggar putteth up his petition to you in vain, and turn him out to perish. Perhaps thou shalt say, the man hath brought upon himself his misery. Therefore I will stay my hand, and will not give him of my food, nor impart unto him of my substance, that he may not suffer, for his punishments are just. But I say unto you, O man, whosoever doeth this, the same has great cause to repent, and except he repenteth of that which he hath done, he shall perish forever, and hath no interest in the kingdom of God. For behold, are we not all beggars? Do we not all depend upon the same being, even God, for all the substances which we have, both food and raiment, and for gold and for silver and all the riches which we have of every kind? Behold, even at this time ye have been calling on his name and begging for the remission of your sins. My dad taught that in his actions. Just as I see the people that I've been acquainted with for the past 36 years, this is what they've taught. And as we see our loved ones grow older, and we see their conditions start to wane, yet they still have the same testimony. They still give the same testimony that they've given in the past, and that is live according to God's teachings. Ask Him for remission of your sins, and He will supply your every want and need. And as we travel down this boulevard of disrespect, I want to tell you another little story. And all of you have probably seen it. You've probably seen little boys out playing sandlot ball. And you see another little boy standing at the fence begging to play ball. And the bigger boys say, no, get away. Don't bother us. And pretty soon there's a bully that would come by and and smashed the little boy's face into the dirt and start belittling him and punching him and various things like that. Disrespect. We travel down this road a lot. I see disrespect all the time. And it bothers me at times to see how it has affected those that I care for. And as we travel on down this boulevard of disrespect that the world is shoving us down, occasionally we see an older person walking along, bent over, with a heavy load. And we don't offer to help. Sometimes they're even embarrassed to ask for the help. And if you go up and try to help, they don't want it. But you know, this is one thing that my father taught me early in my life, is to respect the elders. And that doesn't mean the men that serve in the church, but those that are around you that are older, to respect them, to hold them up, not in high esteem, but to see that their wants and their cares and their needs are answered. Are we teaching this to our people? Are we teaching this to the young? I don't know. But I do know one thing that we need to be teaching them. What does respect mean? I looked up the definition. It says to hold in high esteem. Concern. To regard. To consider. To hold in consideration. Appreciation. Love. Honor. And what does the commandments say? Kids, it says honor your father and your mother. But honor those that are in authority. Honor those that you come in contact with, the older individuals. And the opposite of respect is what? What's the opposite of respect? Disrespect. That's right. Means a lack of courtesy, a lack of regard. Sometimes we have disrespect by being critical of others. You know, we have an opportunity, and really, people watch us. Do you know that? Did you know that people watch you? You are members of a body of the Church of Christ. And you have an obligation that when others look around, they see that you're different. That you're not the same as the world. That you're just a little different. And if we're highly critical of others, whether it be in the church, in the home, in the workplace, in school, if we're highly critical of others, they're watching us. They see this. There was another story that I've heard recently. In fact, I heard it so recently as when we came to church. I have it on tape, and I played it for my family as they came to church. And it's about a young boy in the school. And this young boy was called garbage picker. And his dad had lost his job and they had to move out of their home because they couldn't afford the home. And this fellow had a barn that they could move into, that he used to raise cattle, and he no longer raised cattle, so he had this barn that was open. And so they moved into this barn and didn't have electricity, didn't have running water. And when he would go to school, the students would make fun of him. They would call him garbage picker. And they made a lot of fun of him because he was different. And they noticed that as he went through the cafeteria line, the cafeteria workers would give him more food. And they would make fun of him. Well, something happened and he didn't show up for class one day. And when the roll was called, the person that was calling a roll, I always try to call my own roll, but sometimes instructors or teachers have someone else call the roll. And they called garbage picker. And I guess the teacher about had it with the class. And she said, "You've shown so much disrespect for him." She said, "His name's not garbage picker, it's Gerald. And his friends call him Jerry. And yes, he's absent today, but you don't know why he's absent today." Said, "You don't know about Jerry." Said, "Yes, Jerry gets more food as he goes through the cafeteria line. But the reason why is the cafeteria workers know that that's the only meal he's going to have today. He doesn't have money. They don't have money for food. And yes, he goes around and picks up what you leave on your trays, because he puts it in a sack and takes it home for his family." Said his little brother doesn't go to school, so he can't be fed. And they don't have money for food. And they said, "While Jerry's absent today, and you're making fun of him," said, "the reason why Jerry's absent today is that the barn burnt last night. And what little possessions they had, it burnt up, including his cornet." And this happened to be a music class. And said, "That's why Jerry's not here today." Said, "He's working. A man hired him to chop wood so that he could buy a new cornet." See, we're traveling down this road of disrespect. We make fun of others. We make fun of each other. But the moral of that story what happened with that story is that they started feeling bad because of the way they had treated him. And so they ran a food drive, and they made enough money to buy the new cornet and feed the family for 6 months. Love of mankind, and this is what our Savior's trying to teach us, is that we must have this love for one another, and we must have this love for mankind. And we can't afford to make fun of people. We can't afford to be discourteous. We have to teach our children not only to love one another as a family, but to love the people that are around them. We have to teach them to be patient. Not everything can happen all at once. And we have to teach them to be patient. We have to teach them to stand for godly principles. so that when they're out in the world, they're able to withstand the onslaughts of those around them. We have to teach them to have an abiding faith in God. For without God, we can't stand it. We can't stand this world without God. We have to teach them to respect others. Respect others' feelings. And at the same time, respect themselves. Because believe me, brothers and sisters, you cannot respect others if you don't respect yourself. Not to be critical of others. Sure, people are going to disappoint us. We're going to have disappointments meet us face to face each and every day. And we have to overcome those disappointments. And we can't belittle someone because they don't exactly believe the same way we do. We will never instruct them into Christ by belittling them. We have to teach them to be kind-hearted. And honor one another. I cut this out of a paper probably 25 years ago. It's what a pity. People think they're not loved unless they're loved better than someone else. Love is not a bottle with only so much liquid. Love is a fountain from an eternal spring that can fill all available bottles. Learn to love your enemy now, in this world, or you will be bound to him throughout eternity. Only love can loosen the chains. On this earth, God allows us to mend our quarrels with one embrace. In the next, it might take eons. Have I hurt you, my friend? Have I judged you? Have I turned from you when you needed comfort or solace? Have I spoken sharply when you needed comfort and solace? Have I spoken sharply when you needed understanding? Forgive me, my friend, forgive me. Only now do I know how you felt. Now I need comfort, solace, and understanding, soft words of assurance. Reach out from where you are and help me to turn the other cheek and not to forget I love. For if I hate, I will not be myself, and God cannot love me. Then I am nothing. Oh, tell me you forgive me, and tell me that I may hence be free for God to love. Now, God loves us all. He loves each and every one of us. I had an experience the other night. And driving home from school, I was playing a tape of hymns. And the one hymn that was playing was, "He looked beyond my fault and saw my need." I can't tell you how I felt at that time. I felt the love of God so strong, and it was such a wonderful feeling. But I almost had to pull over because I couldn't drive. But He does look beyond our faults. And He sees the needs that each one of us have. And I hope and I pray that each one of us will have that experience with God to where He's so close to us that we feel His very presence. That He fills our every being. And I really hope that we can get off of this boulevard of disrespect. I hope as individuals and as a people, as a city and as a nation, I hope we can get off of this boulevard of disrespect. Because this is a boulevard that ends in destruction and tragedy. And this day, as we think about the love that our parents have shown toward us, and the love that we have for our parents, let's think about the love that we have for our God and our Heavenly Father. May God bless you is my prayer.
Thank you, Larry. Let's remember the announcements. Let's remember our brother Buzz and our prayers this evening. Also, before I forget it, there's no choir practice this afternoon, so we can spend a little more time with our families and our fathers. We're going to use 251 for a closing song. 251.